My name is Julia Balin, and I'm the host of In Conversation, the Life Care podcast featuring subject matter experts in conversations about important topics that will help you better balance your work and life. Money matters, healthy life advice, how to shine at work, parenting and adult care tips and techniques. Our podcasts cover a wide range of helpful information for you. Before we get started with today's program called How to Have a Low-Conflict, Low-Cost Divorce, I would like to encourage you to browse our list of podcasts for other topics that will be of interest to you, including two other podcasts by today's guest, Jeffrey Steiger. One is Divorce from Crisis to Collaboration, and the other is Talking with Children about Divorce. Today, I am very pleased to welcome back to In Conversation, Jeffrey Steiger, a psychotherapist and collaborative divorce coach. He has been in private practice for 20 years with offices in New York City and Westchester County, New York. A graduate of New York University, Jeffrey's clinical background includes psychoanalytic studies at the Postgraduate Institute in New York City, with special training in marriage and family therapy. In his role as psychotherapist, he has worked with individuals, couples, and families. Jeffrey is trained in the interdisciplinary model of collaborative divorce by the New York Association of Collaborative Professionals and the Hudson Valley Collaborative Divorce Association, but perhaps his most significant training related to this work as a coach came when he went through his own divorce. This experience awakened in him a passion to help others go through the process in a more humane and less adversarial way. Currently, he raises his son with his former wife. Now let's talk with Jeffrey Steiger about how to have a low-conflict, low-cost divorce. Welcome back to In Conversation, Jeffrey.
I am glad to be back.
Now, divorce, as many people know, is almost synonymous with conflict. Extreme emotions back and forth are usually the norm, and you note that couples can choose to go the low-conflict route to divorce if they want. Now, how do they get on track to do that?
Well, first of all, let me just say that a low-conflict, low-cost divorce is a very difficult goal to achieve. We've said many times in our podcasts previously that people arrive at divorce in crisis, the emotions are running high, people are very afraid, and it's very easy to want to fight. There is a feeling of injustice, a feeling of betrayal, and people feel like they want to somehow be heard and win. So it is a challenge to approach divorce differently. It's important to remember that divorce is largely an emotionally driven process. Some people can actually get divorced in 3 months. As we often hear, people take much longer. Divorces can last from 3 to 5 years and even longer. Those obviously are high conflict divorces that cost an enormous amount of money.
So from what you know, couples that have this mindset of maturity to move on are pretty lucky, but they might be the exception instead of the rule. Isn't it more likely then that one of the parties is, you know, fighting for their life when someone fears losing their home, their children, their financial security? In that case, isn't a fight inevitable?
Well, let me just make a clarification here. There are certain circumstances where a fight and or going to court are necessary. If someone has experienced historically some domestic violence, if someone is involved with someone who's emotionally unstable and or has a personality disorder, these are circumstances where trying to remain respectful and amicable become very difficult. And so in those circumstances, it is not appropriate to take a more low-conflict approach to divorce. You know, mediation, collaborative divorce, I'll get more into that, are processes that require that the individuals can speak to each other respectfully.
So it sounds like while there are, of course, cases where collaborative divorce is not appropriate, in the cases where it might be helpful to go that route, what are some ways that you can start the process?
Well, one of the things that's important to remember when you're remaining amicable is not to choose a position. You want to try to remain open, and you want to try to assess the true needs and interests of the individuals that are getting divorced, as well as the children. You want to try to ask neutral questions to find out what people really need. When you're upset and defensive, you remain stuck. So you want to really look at your mindset about how you're thinking about divorce. If you're approaching it with the idea that you must keep the house and you must have sole custody and that you have the right to all the retirement funds because you worked for many years supporting the family, these are positions that in the end, as you approach separation and divorce, could lead to long, drawn-out conflict. If you really look to see genuinely, well, now, what are my needs? And what is in the best interest of the children? And what does my partner need to move on with his or her life? If you begin to really sort through in a respectful way, what does each person need? And actually make a list of what their needs and interests are and sit with that, you can arrive at a result that can serve everybody in the family.
One of the main things, I assume, as you mentioned before, is to make sure that your needs reflect your children's needs. And what do people do to make sure that their children feel safe and secure in this divorce process and afterwards?
Well, as I have mentioned previously, we always want to keep the children out of the center of conflict. We have to remember that children need to be free to love both parents. They need to be free to have access to both parents. And they really need to know that even though the parents have decided to divorce, that the parents encourage the children's relationship with both parents.
Our last In Conversation podcast talked about talking with children about divorce. Trying to have a low-conflict divorce is certainly important for children, but aren't children often one of the biggest issues creating the conflict in the first place?
Well, that's usually because one of the parents has positioned themselves as the primary parent, and they want to be the parent, they want to receive child support, you know, they don't think the other parent is a good parent. These are the kinds of things that create conflict. But if we remember that the children really need access to both parents and to be free to love both parents, then that kind of conflict does not have to exist.
So that probably takes a lot of communication. Could you spend a few minutes talking about communication and negotiation and what recommendations you might have to help couples take steps toward having a successful low-conflict divorce?
You know, one of the things that I keep repeating here is that, and it's so difficult to do when you're getting divorced, is to always try to remain respectful in how you communicate. You know, you can have strong feelings about things, but you don't have to act on them. You can express your concerns, your genuine concerns, in a respectful way. Again, when you're upset, you stay stuck, and it's very difficult to generate options after that. I actually want to mention at this point, there's a wonderful book called Getting to Yes, and it's written by the Harvard Mediation Group, and it talks about how to have a good negotiation, so I want to recommend that book. One of the things that often leads to difficulty in the divorce process is when there is a perception of power imbalance. You know, the husband makes all the money and he calls all the shots. You know, the mother sees herself as the primary parent if she hasn't worked, or she sees herself, even if she has worked, as the primary parent. You know, when there's a power imbalance, it's very important to encourage the person who feels unheard to speak up, to really identify what their needs are, and to have facilitators, the attorneys or whoever you're working with, to encourage and support that person to have a voice in the process. You also want to continue to collect options. You want to keep asking open-ended questions. Well, what do you mean by that when you say that that is your concern? And what are some of the ways that we can take care of that? You know, if it's really okay for dad to pick up the kids from school on Wednesday and Thursday because he can end his day earlier, then maybe those are good nights to be with dad. It doesn't have to be, I want sole custody and the kids have to be with me every night. if, in fact, that really doesn't work. Perhaps your schedule doesn't allow for you to be home in time to get the kids. This is the kind of thing. So if you keep kind of fleshing out your concerns and your ideas, and you remain open to both parents being responsive to what the children need and to each other, then you can create possibilities that you might not have thought of if you were in a more positional place.
Jeffrey, I'd like to ask you one final question today that may be on the top of the minds of a lot of our listeners concerning the recession that we're currently in this country and, of course, around the world. Having a low-conflict, low-cost divorce is something that may be more appealing to people who previously wouldn't have really considered it an option. More than appealing, it may be necessary. Can you speak to that at all, about maybe some anecdotes you've seen in these times?
Well, I can say that, you know, people, we've read a number of articles in the national newspapers about people who are unable to get divorced right now because of the economy. And certainly that is a motivation for people to approach divorce in a more amicable way, because the more you fight, the more it costs. I mean, I can only tell you that I've been involved in different kinds of divorce processes where people have been divorcing for 3 and 4 years and where it has cost, over $1 million. I mean, it really can become incredibly costly to have a long, drawn-out fight. If you have to bring in forensic psychologists to evaluate the parenting skills of each parent and the children, if you need to hire a forensic accountant to have the books looked over. I mean, in certain cases, it is appropriate to have these things done. But if you're doing it because your mindset is stuck and you're not bringing respect to the other parent or the other person, you're dragging it out because you're angry, that's when it can become very costly. I want to also say that being in a bad marriage is very debilitating. And to stay together in an unhappy situation because you cannot afford to separate is really a very sad outcome. I think it would behoove the people who need to divorce to approach this in a more mature way rather than to be bound together in an unhappy state because of their financial circumstances.
Jeffrey, before we finish up today, what other thoughts would you like to share with our listeners?
I think it's important to remember that at some point you cared for your partner that you are divorcing and separating, and you certainly care about your children. And so as you approach divorce, I believe it's important to bring a smidgen of goodwill and empathy and respect, to try to remember that even though you are separating and moving on, that somewhere there is a human being who you have cared for. And I think if you can identify some empathy for that person and try to speak with respect, you will get through the process a lot better. I also want to add that it's important to not choose an attorney that is a shark. You know, so often we hear that we should hire a shark because he'll win. You know, I believe that winning in divorce is an illusion, and we can count on, when we hire a shark, that it will become costly, because that will mean that there'll be all kinds of strategizing and positioning going on that will make the divorce drag out and become very costly. And finally, I want to say that we need to remember the kids. The more they are not in the center of conflict and the more they're free to love both parents, the better off they are.
Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I think your advice on low-conflict, low-cost divorce has been extremely helpful. But I want to ask you, where can our listeners go if they want to find collaborative professionals that may live in their area, and how can they contact you directly?
Well, as I've mentioned before, I have a website, and you can access my website by typing in www.jeffreysteiger.com. That is JeffreySteiger. And on my website, it explains some of the different processes for divorce. I am involved specifically with the collaborative process, and you can certainly read more about that. You can also go on to the web and type in collaborative divorce in your local area and see what comes up in terms of the attorneys that work in that model. And there is also an organization called the IACP, which is the International Academy for Collaborative Professionals. That's actually an international organization where attorneys that work collaboratively all over the world are connected to, and so you might be able to A, read about the process, and B, find an attorney that is in your area.
Wonderful. Thanks for that info. A final reminder to our listeners, you can download all of our In Conversation podcasts to your computer or to your MP3 player. And if you're looking for information about support, take advantage of your WorkLife website. It is a rich resource center of helpful information for you. Thank you to Jeffrey, and thank you all for listening today.